The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
What's coming up on today's experience? It's Dr. Dave's devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but remember, the scriptures teach there is a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Remember, there is a time to cry. Life lessons for our faith that we could actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because remember, everything we do is hopefully a blessing, or at least most of it. Or maybe some of it, or maybe just a little bit of it anyway. How about that? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. That's all you got to know. We have no idea what's going to happen. That's it. And actually, we just don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Here is the one. Every time I give this question out, I sit there and think, man, my own answers change on a repetitive basis. Here it is. Which area do we need more patience in? Oh, let me get my calculator out so I can start on that. If you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. We consider that to be sad. Just give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, that is the same feeling like when you find an unexpected bonus in your work check. Oh, that is such a good feeling, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I thought you were going to say find, like, I don't know, like a coin or something. But a bonus, hey, that's even better.
No, buddy. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, no. Hey, look, I found a toothpick in my check thing. Wow, that's cool. That would be a little weird.
I found a piece of lint in my pocket.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Here's the bottom line. You can call us. It's cool. I mean, it's just straightforward. You give us a buzz. We talk. It can be about prayer requests. It could be about praise reports. You might be one of those people that's like, call a radio show. It's beneath my dignity. Okay, well, then don't call. You can text. Ha! 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming up about right now.
214-210-8483.
You can do that as well as you can send an email. Emails are fun. David@hemustincrease.org. It will bounce off, come right to my Chromebook, and then I'll see what you want to say. Could be nasty. We've had that happen several times. Could be funny. We've had that happen several times. Could be just saying hi. That's okay. David@hemustincrease.org. Additionally, we're going to send you up to the website. Why? Because on the website are multiple things. Let's not forget, on the website is a place to put a prayer request. If you want it public or private, you have that opportunity. A praise report, also public or private, although we encourage you to make it public. And then additionally, there's different elements of encouragement. Plus, David said plus. That means there's something new on the website. On the website, at the top, there is a discussion or a link, I should say, about the situation with Israel and their being attacked by Hamas. Two doctors, one gives a note and the other gives a letter, are on the website even right now. What? So you can also get that information as well. And additionally, if you want to partner with us, now I'm going to say this because this is really important. I hate asking for money, and the first time I did a teaching on money in like the last 2 months, somebody wrote me a scathing letter about all I do is ask for funds. Okay? Okay, so here it is. Give me $1 billion and I won't ask for funds again. Okay, there you go. All right, until that happens, here's what we're going to say. Our scripture for giving and partnering with the show is Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. That's from the Lord, not from us, from the Lord. You give to this ministry, you get a receipt at the end of the year. And you partner with us. If you're a person that wants to give but can't give, Lord bless you. That's awesome. I pray he puts you in a position where you can give. And if it's not to us, give somewhere. Got to be a giver because God demonstrates his love by giving. We should do the same. That's very important. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son. That's what we encourage people to do. Check it all out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Now, what I don't know is that just before the fight between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, or is that just when Luke is practicing? See, that's what I'm trying to figure out.
It might be Luke practicing, because that Obi-Wan and Vader fight in A New Hope lasts like 10 seconds.
Okay, got it. There you go. Okay. Good point. Didn't think of that. All right, so we've got a lot of stuff going on. I want to remind you, if you're in San Diego, KBRT, K-Bright, and that's 1240 a.m., it should be 11:39 a.m. If you're in the Texas arena with KAAM, it should be 1:39 in about 10 seconds. Both K-Bright and KAAM have apps that you can use. If you're going to use the newer KAAM app, you got to type in the Truth Station. And then don't forget, we on our website have a free app for both Apple and for Android. So you're welcome to use it. It doesn't take up much space. It's pretty simple. So don't get too excited about the whole thing. All right, we are going to pray for Israel later on, but we're going to go into our text. And then we're going to add a very short feature in the next hour that you haven't heard yet. Let's just say it involves Jacob, but it'll be real short and real fun, so we'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, let's get to it. This is phenomenal territory. Phenomenal territory. Where are we? We're in Psalm 42. Psalm 42? What's the deal about that, Dave? Psalm 42. Well, first of all, you need to understand how the Psalms are laid out. So this is going to help some people. Some people know this. Some people don't. So for those that are really, really smart, just be super, super patient, because that would also be really, really smart. Psalm 42 is the beginning of what is called Book 2 in the Psalms. The Psalms are split into five books. It's 1 to 42, or actually 1 to 41, 42 to 72. That's book number two. 73 to 89, 90 to 106, and 107 to 150. That's the breakdown of the Psalms. There are some people that believe that this breakdown actually is a reflection of the different stages that Israel went through. I did a whole class on this in my master's study. It's cool to think that way, but it's a cool theory, and there's some great connections, but it's not a hill to die on. So let's just say simply, the Psalms are split up in five different books. We just finished last week Psalm 41. Now we're in 42, so we're starting book number two. So that's a little bit of background to help everybody go forward. Additionally, book two, written by the sons of Korah. And so it's like, well, who was that? Nah, I don't know. It's not David. That's who it is. You like that? I like that. Okay, anyway. But this psalm is a powerful, and I mean powerful, powerful psalm. And you know, as soon as you hear it, you go, oh, yeah, oh, this, I want this. So let's go to Psalm 42 and start off with verse 1. It's a contemplation of the sons of Korah. Here we go. Verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? All right, let's back this up. Concentrating on 42. Written by the sons of Korah, this song focuses on a yearning for God in the midst of distress. How many people who are listening, doesn't matter if you're at home or in your car, on your computer or whatever, even if you hear this on the podcast later on, doesn't matter. How many people, when you hear me say that one line, go, that's me. A song that focuses on the yearning for God in the midst of distress. So if you're unfamiliar with this psalm, Psalm 42, I'm going to tell you to do something that very few people have probably told you to do. I'm going to tell you you should read this psalm. Then I'm going to tell you to read this psalm again. Then I'm going to tell you to read this psalm again in a different translation. In fact, I would tell you to read this psalm in 25 different translations, and then you may begin to pick up on some of it and the depth. And when you say, what are you telling me there's 25 different translations that represent the Word of God? Yes. And you say, well, how can you say that? Well, first of all, 25 different translations have led hundreds and thousands and millions of people to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's number one. Number two, Jesus, in all of his quoting, 92.6% was the Septuagint, which was a translation of the Hebrew Bible. So for all those people that are like, that's not like the original language, like, too bad. Jesus didn't even use that 92.6% of the time. God is bigger than a translation because he can speak and the universe exists. So I encourage you, I'm just going to say it, to read a psalm like this in multiple translations, and you will catch flavors and insights you have not seen before, and that will help you draw closer to the Lord. And if there is something more important than drawing closer to the Lord, I have yet to find it in all of the universe. So do that. Make it fun. Don't make it, you know, keep your regular reading going. Keep on that, but just do a little bit of a project. Enjoy it. Get into it. Have fun with it, so to speak. I think it's super fascinating. But here, you start off in this first verse, and it's just like, as the deer pants for water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Think about this. I want you to think about this, and then we'll get into our trivia question. Think about a thirsty deer drinking water or a brook. Now, here's what I want you to get. Now, this is, just so you can know, this is why this is pictured. Okay, people are like, you shouldn't picture it in your mind because it's kind of like some kind of mental imaging. What do you think reading a book is? Anyhow, just skip that. Anyhow, the deer is like, water, right? Okay. What's exciting about a deer is that in comparison to other natural creatures, right, a deer is not a lion or a bear. You think, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that you're never a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. It doesn't mean you're never a bear. Just ask the people that have to put up with you. They have to bear with you. But here's what it means. A deer is a beautiful, wonderful, delightful, enjoyable creature that God created. And that's the comparison to you and to me being thirsty for God. It's almost like this picturesque, this beauty, this portrait that says, isn't that awesome? That as the deer is so thirsty, that's how we feel about our need to drink from the river of God. It's like, wow, right? And let me say this, and I'm just going to say this, and if you get offended, I don't care. Just so you can know, in case you're wondering, just write me an email. I'll put it with all the other emails. Big whiny babies. That's my file on that. Anyhow, it's not a sin, by the way, to hunt. And if you've ever seen the movie Bambi Meets Godzilla and you didn't laugh, there's something wrong with you. I just want to say that because that's like a classic. Did you ever see that?
Is that a real movie?
Yeah. It's a cartoon. Okay.
Bambi Meets Godzilla?
Yep. Classic.
I'm guessing Godzilla won.
Yes, that's a good, it's a pretty good guess. I'm going to go out on a ledge there and go, that's good, Jacob. Yeah, it's real. No, and actually, I saw it in actually a theater when it first came out. And people were like, what is wrong with you? Nothing. I find that humorous. Godzilla meets me. Come on. All right, let's go to our trivia question, then we'll go into the rest of this. People are like going, what happened to this show? Nothing. This is the show. All right. Here you go. Here's your trivia question. What does Emmanuel mean? Does it mean God who heals, God with us, or God who provides? What does Emmanuel mean? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Now, if you're in San Diego or Dallas, I know there's 10 digits, but I am confident that you can bring it home. So don't hesitate. 972-445-0770. That would be the number to call. You can also text, that's also fun too, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. It's a straightforward question. What does Emmanuel mean? Is it one, God who heals, two, God with us, or three, God who provides? Of course, for a reference point, you want to be in Matthew chapter 1. That is what we're laying before you. Okay? All right. All right. So far, we're rolling. I love shows like this. This is the problem. The problem is I'm having more fun than all of you. Well, I guess that's not really a problem, but that is what's going on. All right. So in the meantime, here's what I want you to pick up on. This whole thirsting after God, the soul thirsting after God, this is what Christians, it's not even to take away from. You have ministry work to do. You have things to accomplish in the kingdom. You have responsibilities here on earth with family, with friends, with people that you're connected to spiritually. There's none of that is being taken away or challenged in any of this. But you must remember that much like Jesus, who was baptized, and the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Well pleased is a seasoning pleased. In other words, well pleased means that there has been much going on for the Father to be pleased about, not just the baptism moment. So what were the things that Jesus had with the Father before the baptism? He had his relationship with the Father. And that relationship with the Father is what launched him into the baptism of the Spirit and of water. And that's what then drew him into the temptation by the enemy to be tested. And then he went into ministry. Here's what you got to understand. That's a really great English right there. Here's what you got to understand. Right relationship makes right ministry. You want to do it right in the Lord? You spend time with the Lord. Can't possibly think that Elijah and Elisha, who are on the backsides of deserts, were just sitting there playing with wood and sand and making fire and throwing stones. They were spending time with God. We need to have that. And this panting, this desire, this thirst is the connecting point between us and the Lord. And if you've not tasted that the Lord is good, that would be the prayer I would encourage you to make. Pray, God, teach me to delight in you. Teach me to enjoy your presence. Teach me to thirst for you and to want to draw closer to you. Because if you don't want to spend time with God, why are you going to heaven? What a waste. Makes no sense. Now look at back here. We'll go back to verse 3 in Psalm 42. Powerful stuff, right? It says this, "My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God?" You know what that is? That's scoffers. That's family members, friends, work people, people that you're connected to. Where is your God? That's what that is. You know what that is? That's the media. Where is your God? That's leaders of our own country. It's amazing. Where is your God? They're scoffers. And so in verse 4, he goes, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me." You know, there's just so much you got to just like, oh, I got to get rid of this because I'm so mad about this. Oh. And then he says this, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. So what he says is when this happens, and I get super frustrated, then I do this. I remember going into the house of God. I remember going in with joy and praise. I remember the praise and the moment where it's in worship and everybody's still for a second and the presence of God sweeps over everybody and you're like, everything is okay. I remember that. That's what the psalmist is writing. So the chief complaint from the psalmist is the passionate delight that the author has for God, but he still has to deal with scoffers and people that are mocking them. And let's be honest, that can get discouraging. So how do you pull out of that spiral? And by the way, it is a spiral. The author remembers that going into the house of God with such great joy and delight and praise that it lifts his spirits high. He turns the frown upside down. You have to like that. He turns the frown upside down when he's thinking about this. When you're in a lurch, go to church. I mean, that's an old marketing tool that was used by a pastor in New York at the Marblehead Church, and it's just brilliant. In a lurch, billboard would say, in a lurch, and then the next billboard would say, go to church. Where you meet with God's people, and you're encouraged in fellowship and of like-minded people, and it's strengthening, it's a joy, and maybe your church isn't really, you know, maybe you're just like, you know, maybe you're like, ah, I just go in there, and I just kind of slip in and slip out. Maybe you ought to hang out a little. Maybe you ought to spend time. Maybe you ought to participate. Maybe you ought to get to know people. Maybe you ought to join a small group because it's really tough to really do the things of the kingdom without having relationships and connections. And I understand churches have hurt people. I wrote a book about it. I just sent Dr. Jesse my book today. Hey, listen, it happens. But you know what you can't do? Quit. That's what you can't do. So if you're in a fellowship and it's really blessing you, good. Take advantage of that. That's why God put it in your life. If you're not in fellowship and you're losing that, find it. Because it's required. We need that for encouraging one another. That's why we do this show, is to encourage one another. That's what the church does. And so when the author is thinking about the distress of people that mock and the discouragement of certain situations, just flips into his mind, goes, I remember, boop, 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 here we go into the house of God, here we go. And you're thinking that's crazy. I'll tell you, I've told you this before. So I've been a pastor in multiple churches. I've been doing radio for, I don't know how long. I've been doing a lot of radio. I have all these different ministries. I've been 45 years a Christian in about 2 or 3 weeks. one of the greatest moments I've ever had in my entire Christian life was blasting the worship song and being on my knees at the church, just lifting up my arms and praising God. Because the power of praise and fellowship and the power of communing with God overcomes everything. I was like, man, we need more of that. Yes. Wait. Yes, we do. We need more of that. And so here the psalmist, like, I'm just, oh, Lord, I want more of you. I need more of you. I know I need more of you. I don't really care. It's not enough. I'm still thirsty. I want more. And that would be much like Moses, who, after he spent all that time with God in Exodus 33, said to God, you know, I've hung out with you. I've done all this stuff. It's great. You know what? I want more. And if you're not going to show me and you're not going to teach me, I'm not going. I need you to give me more of you so I can just keep being me and doing me. Like, that's, how cool is that? Man, that's some great stuff. All right, triv question, here we go. What does Emmanuel mean? Does it mean God who heals, God with us, or God who provides? It means God with us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. He's not against you. He's for you. He's not apart from you. He's with you. If you're in San Diego and you want to keep listening, go to hemustincrease.org. Click on Listen Live. If you're in San Diego, hold on to your hat. The next hour is going to be a little bit of a mind blower. I hope you stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey there, it's Amazing Jennifer, and I am helping out the David Spoon Experience. As you may know, I basically run the KAAM radio station.
Amazing!
And Dr. Dave is looking for a few good people to join and become representatives, ambassadors, and stewards of this here radio ministry. Now, you may be thinking, well, I'd love to get involved, but I'm not very qualified for ministerial positions. Well, the truth is that because you are a child of our Heavenly Father, that you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you seek to live by the power of the Holy Spirit, you have all you need to be a part of this ministry. But Jennifer, don't I need to be perfect? No. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website, and then click on the Ambassadors Initiative link. Just fill out the form, and we will reach out to you. But sorry, no parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position. You are on your own with that.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.